Alright, so what we saw yesterday
was that the statement of Hakol Shochtin, which maybe tells us something about what Shechita is, sounds like a somewhat liberal view of who can be involved in Shechita, or maybe a very open view. Yeah, we find quickly that it's a little more complicated. We find that the Mishnah is a little hard to read in terms of what direction it's going in, and we find that the Gemara tries to figure out, is this a language of Chachila for everybody, or there are some who are maybe only B'di'eved, or even less than that, and maybe even B'di'eved wouldn't be good unless there is corroboration to the effectiveness of their Shechita. And we saw that Cheres Shot of the Katan seems to be in that last category, that they're not good even with the Ebed, unless we can ascertain that everything was fine. We have to figure out a little bit about what that means, because ultimately it means that there is a way to have their Shechita be verified and authorized. And the Gemara, if you got a chance to see a little bit, so you see the Gemara, in interpreting the Mishnah, throws in some interesting characters. Tame shechting chulin, tame shechting chulin she nechal al taras hakodesh, a kusi, somebody who is not knowledgeable in hilchos shechita, or somebody who is a mumer l'teyavon, meaning that he's willing to eat non-kosher food if that's what he has, but he's also happy to eat kosher food, so he's not a mumer l'hachis, he's not somebody who is purposely going to go out of his way to eat the non-kosher food, but he doesn't have a commitment to kashrus in an absolute sense. So all of these characters get inserted into our story. And we highlighted the fact that to say that's what the Mishnah means, so it makes the choice a little more striking. Not only are we talking about who shechts as the very first detail in Chulin, but we're talking about these really kind of out-of-the-box cases in the box in the very first Mishnah, so it's a little hard to understand why that should be. So what we started to see is that the status of who could shecht is a little more complicated than it seems. And the idea that Shechita is only about the result, which is how it may have sounded until now, is a little more complicated because there are some limitations. And what we started to talk about is one major limitation is akum. So somebody who is involved in avodah zarah, we don't know yet whether it means that he's involved in actual avodah zarah, or is that a way of saying he's simply not Jewish? But one way or another, an akum is not going to be a valid shochet. And the Mishnah says that shechita sovei kochavim nevelo matamba b'masa, and daf yud gimel, that the shechita of an avodah zara is absolutely nothing. The animal is still a nevela; it's no better than if it died on its own, and it's also going to be matame because it's fully a nevela. So, why is that? What's the issue? We've seen that we have this pretty loose standard, and that we only seem to care about making sure that the details were carried out correctly. So why is it that an akum is going to be excluded here? So the truth is, we have different theories in the Rishonim. So if you look, if you haven't a chance to see it, let's look first at Tosfos. Let's open that up together. Tosfos on the bottom of Gimel Amud Beis. Tosfos Dibra Maschil Kosava. So Tosfos is talking about kusim and the question whether kusim are valid gerim or not. So Tosfos goes on to say, if shechitasan psula, if they're not real gerim, their shechita would be no good. Like what? Kamo shalov de kochavim, like an oved avodah zarah. Why? What's the issue? So here Tosfos explains, because the Gemara didn't explain. Right, the Mishnah didn't tell us what the issue was. So what is the issue? Says Tosfos, "Mivizavachta, masha ata zaveach ata ochel, klomer oso shehu bar zvicha." So the language, the pasuk that we read last week in Re'e is "vizavachta." That which you shecht is that which you eat. And somehow, that tells us that Kolomar also shahu bar zvicha lafuke over kochavim veochan levelos lahaches. So that is to exclude Noved Avodah Zarah, and to exclude also, in contrast to a mumer l'teyavon, somebody who's not just eating because he's hungry and that's what he has, but who does so lahachis, who's going to look for opportunities to eat treif just so he can snub his nose at the Torah. So that is in this category also. They're not called a bar zvicha. So how would you translate bar zvicha? What do you think that means? What's a bar zvicha? Yeah, Sam?
Someone has been given, I mean, if you say that shechita is a mitzvah,
Someone's
been given the mitzvah of having to do shechita.
Okay, so you're saying somebody who's...
Well, I guess that wouldn't include mumer l'hachas anyway.
It wouldn't, or it would?
It would not. Well, I'm assuming mumer l'hachas is still a Jew, so he's still
on the... Right.
Man, yeah.
So how would you translate then this bar zvicha? Anyone have a thought? Yeah, Levi, what's a bar zvicha?
Is zvicha the... Does that come from the word zevach?
Yes.
So, then maybe if one were to be obligated, I guess, and having to ever bring, I guess, like, a zevach, which is generally, it's a carbon with an animal, right? So,
well, yeah, but there, but the usage of the word zevach for that means because it's a shechtin carbon. So that... But it's interesting to ask the question of whether it's linked to Kachem on some level, because we did find that some understood that the bracha, like the Rosh Hashanah, the bracha, is connected to the fact that Shechita is sometimes obligatory in that context. But
I thought maybe if a person ever like has the ability to have to bring a zevach, then that would make him, I guess, maybe a bar zvicha, because that would be, I guess, Jews in general.
So we have to sharpen it a little bit more, though, because it's the ability to have to.
Yeah,
so, but what does that mean? Let's try to become chayev.
Yeah.
So you see, the reason you're saying it like that is because you're trying to leave open the katan. Because the katan is somebody who is not obligated now, but potentially will be. Where you have such a distinction sometimes when it comes to mitzvos, that there are some Rishonim in other contexts who draw a distinction between somebody who's not chayiv at all and somebody who's not chayiv now, but under the normal course of events will become chayiv. So let's think about that. But the question is really whether this is connected to kachim at all, or connected to that mitzvah. Well, maybe there's a tzad to say that it is. Sam?
Or mumer l'hachas still be chayiv.
So then
it's like the one issue with the trying to like pin bar zvicha on something specifically to Jews.
Okay, so that's a tricky point also, right? That if you're going to say that it's about your chiyuv, you really kind of got two questions. One question is, and again, let's even set aside the kachim idea. Let's put this into just shchitas chulin. But if we want to connect it to a chiyuv, so on the one hand, we're going to have to account for a katan, which is what Levi's language was trying to address. But then also, how do you get the mumer l'hachis out of? He's not chayiv. He's not addressed.
Should be chayiv. I mean, he might not do it.
Right, so then it's difficult how he gets excluded here. So where does this whole idea of bar zvicha come from? Right, so it's not in the Gemara here. Right, we saw yesterday the Tosefta, which does give us a little more than the Mishnah does. Again, the Tosefta is always a little challenge to find in your Gemaras because they're in random places. In the back. Now, the Rosh, did any of you get a chance to see the Rosh this morning? Do you have the Marmar Komos list in front of you? What Simon was the Rosh?
Rosh is in Simon Hay.
Simon Hay. All right, so if you look at the Rosh, the Rosh is with Tosfos here. So let's look at the Rashi together. My Rashi in Siman Hey on the Mishnah, Shechita Asot Kechob Neveil Umatam of Masa. Says the Rashi, Afilu Ra Acherim Sheshachtu Yafe. Even if other people can verify that the Shechita was done the right way, which was the factor that helped for everybody else, it's not going to help the Akum of Pirushri Hatam Mishum Tichsev. Also, that which is considered to be a bar zvicha, then you can eat from him. So here again, we'll continue with his words in a second, but here again you have this mysterious concept of a bar zvicha. We're not 100% sure where it comes from. We're also not 100% sure what it means, because translating it sounds like it means a fleshic party for the bar mitzvah. But translating it is not obvious. It's not obvious how to translate what a bar zvicha means. Now, the Rambam seems to have a completely different view here. Do we have a Rambam in this room? Is there a Rambam in this room? Okay, we'll have to call one up on the magical device. But before looking at the Rambam inside, so if we just also look at the language of the Tosefta, which we saw yesterday, but now it's interesting just to contrast it. The language of the Tosefta is Hakol Ksher in Lishcho Tefilu Kusi Afilu Yisrael Arel Afilu Yisrael Shehem Redaita Lebayis Kechavim, right? Which is very interesting that that's in the kosher section of the supermarket. And then Shchitas Oved Kechavim Harei Zupsula V'Shchitas Hakof Harei Zupsula Shenemar V'Zavachta V'Yachalta. So the Tosefta brings the same pasuk. It brings the same source, basically, but it doesn't have this phrase barzvicha. So it's not clear if this Tosefta is the mucker for this view in the Rishonim, for this drasha that Tosus and the Rush have, because it doesn't have the same rest of the language. Now, let's look at the Rambam together. So, the Rambam in Hilchos Shechita, in Perek Dalet, Halacha Yud. So, the Rambam says some very interesting things. So, let's read together. What does the Rambam say? Akum sheshachat. If you have a Ovid of Avodah Zarah who shechted, afal pi sheshachat bifnei Yisrael, even though he shechted in front of a Jew, Besakin Yafe, with a appropriate knife, via filu haya katan, and even if he was a katan, why is that relevant? Why would it be better if he was a katan?
Doesn't really know. Like doesn't about bardas. Like doesn't really.
And that's good.
Aware of what
is right. So that's interesting that that's good. Right, because here we're talking about you were in the Mishnah. We're saying that everyone's kosher, even children, because children are a bigger chiddush. And here we're saying that an akum is possible even if he's young. And right? You would think young means less das. Do you want to comment on that?
So, that I guess maybe would take away from the idea that maybe the reason that a non-Jew can't sheft is because he has something, it's not that he would be missing something, but that he has some extra, I guess, bad das, right?
Well, it takes away from it in a sense, but it also gives to it in a sense, because it goes to the language of Yafilu. So I think you're saying is the fact that a katan is included could have threatened that idea, but maybe that's why it's Yafilu, because it's a bigger chiddush that the katan, you would have thought, if the issue was that there's some active affirmative problem with the akum, then maybe the katan could be excluded. So the language of Afilu is the chiddush. So indeed, let's see the rest of the Rambam's words. So Shritas Nevela. So Afil HaKaten Shritas Nevela V'loka Al Achilasa Min HaTorah, and he is therefore Chayiv Malkus. Why is he Chayiv Malkus? Not because of the akum, but because there's no difference from this in a regular Nevela. Shanamar, as the pasuk says, this is the pasuk in Parshas Kisisa, and here the Torah is talking about the dangers of coming into the land and mixing with the Obdei Avodah Zarah. So here the quotation from the Rambam is, V'kara lecha b'achalta mizivcha. And the full pasuk, when I see that inside, this is Perek Lamedalid and Parshas Kisisa, pasuk Tezvav, that you have to be careful. Pentichros bris leyeshiv haaretz. Maybe you'll come into a covenant with those who live in the land. Vizanu acharei eloheihem, and you will err, and you will follow after their gods. Vizavchu eloheihem, and they're going to shecht for their gods. Vekarlocha viachalta mizivcha. And they will call out to you, they'll invite you, and you'll end up eating from that which is essentially a takruvus of Avodah Zarah, or at least a potential takruvus of Avodah Zarah, or maybe a subliminal takruvus of Avodah Zarah, but something that's in the category, or towards the category, of an offering for idolatry. You're going to end up in risk of that if you eat from the shechita of a non-Jew. So me'acher, continuing now to read from the Rambam, me'acher shehizir shema yochel mizivcho, atalamed shezivchei aser ve'eno domel Yisrael she'eno yedeya hilchos shchita. So here, this is a pretty interesting language that basically, what's the Rambam saying here? So first of all, does he have a concept of a bar zvicha? Doesn't sound like it. Right? Doesn't sound like that enters into his lexicon. And how is he deriving an Isser? From this pasuk, very interesting usage, just as far as how we see things. You know, we mentioned on Sunday, this week's parsha, it's just worth focusing on as far as understanding how Chazal and Rishonim read Pesukim. So this week's parsha, as we said, is the parsha of the authority of Chazal, according to the Rambam, and the whole idea of the ability of the rabbis to legislate new dinim. So we know that that concept exists, right? That the rabbis look at situations, and they sometimes decide that even though the Torah's rule stops here, we think you need to go there. But sometimes it's a little more than that. And there is a concept called an asmachta, which the Rambam actually particularly understands that an asmachta is just a remez. That sometimes the Gemara will say that you should remember a certain din by associating it with a pasuk. So there'll be a din, which is, as far as we understand it, the Rabbanan, but the Gemara will say, as the pasuk says, such and such. So why is it quoting a pasuk if it's in the Rabbanan? And the Gemara will explain, kra asmachta ba'alma, the pasuk is an asmachta. So machlok is what that means. So some of the Rishonim, most of the Rishonim, understand, like the Rambam, that it's a memory tool, that we want you to be able to remember all the dinim, and you have the whole Torah Shebaal Peh memorized or printed, the whole Torah Shebichsav memorized or printed, so you associate the Torah Shebaal Peh with the Torah Shebichsav, you associate the din Rabbanan with a pasuk, and that will help it stick. But other Rishonim thought there was more, so the Ritva prominently argued on the Rambam, and the Ritva said that the Rambam, or whoever maintains this position, which he had very harsh things to say about, you should understand that on some level the Pasuk does mean this, that it's not that it's completely irrelevant, but that this was also a part of the message, Misinai. And the Maral of Prague had an interesting in-between kind of idea, where he says that when the Gemara quotes a pasuk for a din d'rabbanan, and we call that an asmachta, so it's somewhere in between. It's not that the pasuk is ordering you to do such and such. It is a din d'rabbanan, so it's not the message of the pasuk. But it's not irrelevant either. It's not just trying to force the concept into a pasuk that's not talking about it. What it means is that Chazal could figure out a certain reality based on the pasuk, and they will make a din based on that. So the Maral gives an example that a few weeks ago we read in Parshas Devarim, there's a pasuk there that Moshe Rabbeinu talks about going through the desert, and he talks about how they got sustenance from the people who they passed along the desert, but the Gemara understands that it was only raw foods or foods that didn't need cooking, and the Gemara associates the din of Bishul Akum to that. So the Maral explains that it's not that that pasuk is coming to tell you that there's a prohibition of Bishul Akum, that's a din d'rabbanan. But the pasuk was coming to tell you that when a nation is separate and apart, so they don't share meals with other nations that are fancy meals that require cooking. So therefore, you can see from there that there is a concern. And Chazal built the din of Darabanan and of Mishul Akum on top of that. So what would you say about this pasuk? The Rambam citing this pasuk for a issue of Shechitas Akum. So what category does that fit in? So you could have said that it's a little bit like what we just described from the Maral. At the Maral saying, oh, you got to be very careful about mixing with these nations that are living here because they're idolatrous. And if you hang out with them and if you make a deal with them, they may say, okay, come eat with me and share in my avodah zarah. So one could see that as kind of an din d'rabbanan asmachta kind of relationship, like the Maral was saying about Mishul Akum. It's saying, listen, the Torah identifies a risk of getting too close to the idolatrous nations, and they are shechting animals, and they might invite you. So it sounds like the concern is you'll partake in avodah zarah through this invitation. And therefore, it makes sense you shouldn't have the shechita of an Akum. So one could have read this as kind of a din d'rabbanan that is built off the concern that the pasuk is expressing. But the language of the Rambam here sounds like it's more than that. It's saying that the Torah is telling you, oh, don't mix with them, don't make a covenant with them, because you'll end up eating from their shechita. So it sounds like the shechita is the problem. Not that it's going to lead to something else, but that there is an isser of the shechita. The shechita is no good. It sounds like that's an issue of a din d'oraisa. Although, really what it's going to come out to is that it's no good because it's nevela. That's the language of the Mishnah. Right? Not that it's no good because it's a takruvus of avodah zarah, but that it's no good because it's not shechted. So that's a little bit of an issue to try to make one fit with the other. But let's read the rest of the language of the Rambam. So right after he quotes the pasuk, we saw he said, "Me'achash hitzur shema yochel mizivcho atalamad shezivcho aser ve'enu domel yisrael she'enu yadei hocheshchita." So we see that there is a issue that the Torah is worried about your eating from his zavach. And that is a fundamental issue that's different than somebody who doesn't know Hilchos Shechita. Somebody doesn't know Hilchos Shechita, okay, we can deal with that. Maybe we can put a mashgiach on who's going to take care of it. But somebody who is an Oved of Avodah Zarah, that's a fundamental problem. It's in a different kind of category. So then that goes back to his language of a filu hayakata, that on the one hand, this comes from a affirmative problem, but because he's connecting it to the pasuk and it's essentially an objective din, so then we're not going to interpret the reasoning and we're going to say that even the katan, who doesn't necessarily have that das to do this, is still going to be included. But what's very interesting is the next halacha in the Rambam, halacha Yud Beis. He writes, "V'geder gadol gadru b'davar." They made a big geder here. They made a big fence. Sha'afilu akum she'eino oved avodah zarah, shechitaso nevela. So even though this concern is about avodah zarah, so yes, yesterday, does it mean only a literal idolater, or does this include anybody who's not Jewish? So here the Rambam addresses this, that even if you have, see, it's interesting, the question what language means, you see, this seems like it's a direct contradiction, except that we use words meaning as other things, and it's also a question of the original Girsa. Afilu akum she'eno oved avodah zarah, right? Afilu oved kochav mazalos she'eno oved avodah zarah. So, you know, clearly words mean different things even from one sentence to the next. I mean, from one word in the same sentence to the next, right? So, but even somebody who is not actually idolatrous, that is also included. Sounds like Idrabana, Peder Gadru Ajum. So that's a fascinating formulation. I asked you to see the cast of Mishnah just to add in. So if you see the cast of Mishnah, the first halacha here, so he writes, Akum Afapisha Shachat and Mishnah Sham, Yid Gimel, Shchitas Akum Nevela, Umetam Masa, Umetanokat Stam Nevela, Mashpada Filu Acherim Bro Nosam, V'chein Perishashi, V'chein Kosav Bal Ha'iter. That the Rishonim all understood that it doesn't matter if anyone else is watching because the Mishnah just said Nevela. It didn't qualify at all, so it sounds like it's not going to be improved, not going to be helped by anybody else watching. But this next halacha that he says, Geder Gadru, so if you look at the Kesef Mishnah on that, so his language is, all these Kesef Mishnahs are interesting, so I'm going through them with you now, but you should please make sure to see them because they're all important. So the Kesef Mishnah writes, says, next halacha, Nira Sherebeinu Sover, Shekol She'enu Oved Avod Azara, Enu Elamid Rabbanan. So it sounds like the Rambam is saying that if he's not actually an idolater, the Isser is midrabanan, v'harosh kasev v'shem ri, right, the Rosh we saw, he writes the name of the ri, taima v'shem dechsev zavachta v'yachalta, also shu bar zvicha yichom b'zivcha, that which is a bar zvicha, you're able to eat from him, and again, we still don't know what that word exactly means. And then the next comment, the Kesef Mishnah writes, Masha Kasev, Filu Nachri, She'enu Ovid of Azara. Where does the Rambam get this from? It says, Hotzi Masha Kasev, Shchitas Akum Stam. So again, the same point about the language, that it just says Shchitas Akum, V'lo Amru Shchitas Ovid of Azara. So apparently the subtlety is crucial. V'gam lo matzino shechilku ben katan l'gadol. And also, we didn't find anyone who distinguishes between a katan and a gadol. V'chein kasev harashba, v'taras abayis. So essentially here the Kesef Mishnah is saying, this really goes to Levi's point, that if we're just going after the reasoning, so then we should have said the katan should be excluded, like Levi was saying. But we include him because apparently there's a broader gedder here. And that we're making a flat policy, no non-Jews, whether they are idolaters or not, whether they are adults or children. And there's one more relevant Kesef Mishnah that I asked you to look at on the on its Hilchos Avos HaTuma. What does it say on the list? Have the sheet in front of you? Because Hilchos Avos HaTuma. Hilchos Tumas Meis. Sorry. Hilchos Tumas Meis.
Sorry.
It's on the updated list. Okay.
It's open.
Okay. Is it Parak Dali, maybe? Keep guessing.
Hilchos Avos Tuma, Aleph Yud.
Aleph Yud?
Yeah.
Okay. So let's just call that up. Sorry, I accidentally X'd it out. Sorry, take me a second. Aleph Yud. Sorry, this program takes longer than you would think. I keep hitting the wrong button. Sorry. Not 100% sure how to navigate this particular. Alright, I have to go back. I keep sending it in the wrong direction. Look at it later. But essentially, there's another Kesef Mishnah. It's harder to use than I thought it was. Apologize for that. But essentially, let's go back to how the Rosh quotes it. So the Rosh, now to pick up from his language, because he quotes the Rambam. So now let's go back inside the Rosh, here in the beginning of Hey. It says, V'harambam zal pirish mishum dechsev v'karalacha v'yachaltam mizivcho. So the Rambam says, because of that pasuk, Mi'achar shehizir shemayochal mizivchay atalame shezvachay aser ve'enam dvarim sholtam, says the Rosh. That this does not seem to really make sense. This is not tasty. I guess no pun intended. Sh'atar is hira kishiyikr l'cha shleitaychal mizivchay matasha zavach besoch beso. That the language of the Torah, the context of the Torah, is that which he is shechting in his house. How do you know that if you're going to have him shecht for you, and you're going to follow all the details, and make sure everything's done right, how do you know that that's going to be a problem? So we have here a major machlokas between Tosfos and the Rosh on the one hand, and the Rambam on the other hand. So what do we now have as far as our parameters are concerned? So what we have is an opening claim in the Mishnah that everybody's good for Shechita. The impression that we have based on various details that it's all about just getting the practicalities right, and as long as if we have to worry about some kind of issue, then we shouldn't do it l'chachila. If it's done under supervision, then it's acceptable. But we see that there is an outer limit, that an akum, no, and for different reasons. According to the Rambam, everything flows, right? That the issue is, there's an external concern. It's really nothing to do with the requirements of Shechita. It's that the Torah removed him from the category of Shochtim because of his idolatrous inclinations. And we're so concerned about that that we include even those who are not necessarily subject to this, those who are not actually idolaters, or those who are too young, are all subject to this concern. While according to Tosfos and the Rosh, it's a completely different issue. Shechita does have a requirement. And the requirement is that it's got to be a bar zvicha. But we don't know yet where that comes from or what it means. And where it comes from, in a sense, you know, the Tosefta that we saw is a little bit in the middle, because the Tosefta quotes the pasuk of the Rosh and Tosfos, but really seems to have the logic of the Rambam. And because the Tosefta quotes that pasuk, it doesn't have the phrase bar zvicha, and the details seem to be more like the Rambam. Although, it's really somewhere in the middle, because many who you might think are not a bar zvicha are on the right side of the fence. And the shechita zovir kochavim, I mean, the truth is, without using the word bar zvicha, the Tosefta is really more like the Rosh and Tosfos. Because what's his language again? Shechita zovir kochavim is a psula, u'shechita hakofer is a psula. So it sounds like he's essentially saying it's nothing. So according to Tosfos and the Rosh, it's nothing because it doesn't meet the threshold of Shechita. And according to the Rambam, it's nothing really because it was made into nothing. It would have been something, but we have to treat it as nothing because of the concerns of Avodah Zarah. And the way the Tosefta phrases the limud v'zavachta v'yachalta, what does that mean? Without saying the words bar zvicha, but maybe this is the Tosefta's translation of bar zvicha, lo shezavach ha'ivri kechavim v'lo shezavach ha'koch v'lo shenizbecha me'alem. That it has to have some active intent. And a monkey is not actively intending, and if it happens on its own, it's not active, and somehow an akum is in the same category. Hi.
The Russian Tosfos say that if you're watching over the akum,
so that's what they say now, right? That's what the Rishonim seem to interpret, the way the Kesef Mishnah explained, that since the Mishnah just says it flat out, that it's different from everything in our first Mishnah. Our first Mishnah, the external supervision helps, but here, it's not going to cut it. Again, no pun intended.
So just what was that? What was that? When we came back to the Rosh, what was the last point of his?
He doesn't agree with the Rambam.
Okay.
Because he doesn't think the Pasuk's talking about a general concern of any Akum getting involved with the Shechita.
Right.
It's talking about an Akum was shechted in his house. Now, again, if you want to say this is all a Drabbanan, then that might fit the model of other Drabbanans. That the same way we're afraid you're going to come eat in his house and it's going to be L'Avodah Zarah, so don't let him shecht at all. So if you wanted to say this is all the Drabbanan, so then the Pasuk could help, even for the Rosh. But since the Rambam seems to be saying that the Pasuk actually tells you an existing din, that, oh, if he invites you to eat from his shchita, that's bad. So you see, his shchita is bad. So the Rosh says, no, it doesn't. It means that the shchita in his house is bad. But maybe if you had him working for you and you were watching everything, maybe it's good. So since that's not true,
right,
it's not about this pasuk. It's about, there's not a bar zvicha. So this standard of a bar zvicha, we still don't know what it means. And we'd like to say it means somebody who's subject to the mitzvah. But we need to define that further, because here we have people who are patur min mitzvos, and apparently that's considered to be a bar zvicha. So I'll just add a few more points, then we'll have to finish this tomorrow morning. We'll probably leave on a little bit of a cliffhanger for tomorrow morning. But to go back to the question of the Gemaras that you've seen, the two blot from Daf Beis, end of Daf Gimel. So we mentioned that all the scenarios are a little strange. Right? It's strange to say that this is a pshat in the Mishnah, to say that we're interested in a tameish, eating chulan, should nasal taras hakodesh, or that we're talking about a kusi. So I saw a discussion about this in a safe in the library called the Beis Masas Yahu, but I don't know if this is exactly his point, but I think he's saying something along these lines. That essentially, the whole unit here of the first two blot and the Mishnah Yud Gimel is to make one point. Right? There are certain people who can shecht and certain people who can't. And as we've been saying, that whole point is very relevant to understanding what Shechita is, so it's a significantly important point. But what's going to be important for us now is to figure out what is this Bar Zvicha thing. So what these Havaminas in the Gemara and these two blot are telling us is that there are certain people who we have to figure out where they fit into this equation. Because we have to narrow down what does it mean to be a Bar Zvicha. So let's throw out some possibilities. So we already mentioned maybe subject to the mitzvah. What else could it mean to be a Bar Zvicha? Sam?
Maybe trustworthiness.
Okay, that's one part of it.
Deliberately mess it up or do it for the wrong intentions.
Okay, that's an important clarification. So trustworthiness could have meant a lot of things, right?
Right.
It could have meant your zonah will do a good job.
Because the Mormelachas would probably try to intentionally mess it up. And
okay.
At the end of it, the Vodazara would probably do it. The shame of Vodazara.
Okay, but you're mentioning a bunch of things at once, because each one of those, no, that's fine. I'm saying, but we have to isolate them, because if we mean trustworthiness, like, just are they going to get it right? So that's kind of explicitly addressed in the Argamaras, right? That we have to make sure that it was done effectively. But, as Sam is indicating, trustworthiness means a couple things. Right? It also means, can we trust that they're not going to intentionally do it wrong, which still you would think you could look out for, unless we also may intentionally do it for the wrong reasons. So the reasons factor in here? Maybe.
Yeah, well, according to the Rambam, maybe.
So according to the Rambam, yes, but according to the Rambam, he means bad reasons.
Oh, yeah,
right? So is there bad reasons and neutral reasons? Let's throw this out. Does it matter if the person shechts and he has no intention to eat from the meat or to make it edible for others? Is that a crucial part of being a bar zvicha? Does zvicha mean specifically zvicha in order to permit the meat to be eaten? So that might be what some of these Havaminas are talking about. And if you look in the Sefer, there's a little long essay about this, so I'm just pulling out various points. But maybe that's what these Havaminas are about. So let's say if you have a scenario where somebody's shechting, but it doesn't matter to him whether it's shechted or not, or it doesn't matter to him whether it's kosher for you or not, or he may end up disqualifying the meat for other reasons because he's tameh, and this meat is going to be eaten only al taras hakodesh, which he might have said, okay, what do I need to know about that in chulin? It's an ilchus tumah concept. It's not about kashrus. So maybe you could have thought that it is. Right? Maybe what the Mishnah is telling us is that you can shecht, regardless of whether you have das or not, as long as the details are all in order and can be verified as all being in order, and you have some shaychus to shechita. What shaychus to shechita does it mean? Does it mean a mitzvah? I don't know. Does it mean that you have a shaychus within this act of shechita that has got to be with the intent of making it kosher to eat, or with the assumed possibility of making it kosher to eat? What if for you personally it wouldn't be? Is that going to impact on your Bar Zvicha situation? So what seems to emerge from the Gemara and the Mishnah is that in all those cases, when all the rules are in place, whatever the Gemara ends up requiring, whether it means it has to be verified by somebody else or you have to ask him if you did everything right or all those things, when you have all those things in place, so then you're still going to be a Bar Zvicha as long as you did everything right and we can ascertain all of that, etc. But an Akum is not a Bar Zvicha. And a Katan apparently is. So that's going to be the big question. And there are a couple of particularly interesting approaches to that question, which are also going to pull us into some of our previous discussions. So I will just recap what we spoke about, and I will leave you to think about some approaches to this question, because there are a few answers, and they're going to take us in different directions. So what is the difference in our case between an Akum and a Katan? So just to quickly recap what we spoke about, we saw that mitigating the statement that everyone can shecht is the issue of Akum. The issue of Akum is very mysterious, why an Akum is not kosher to shecht. We saw that the Tosefta quotes a pasuk and says it can't be an Akum or a Kofar by itself, which sounds like it's a lack of some kind of kashering aspect. In that sense, all of that seems to support the position of the Rush and the Tosfos, that Shechitas Akum is no good because it's missing something. But they introduce the phrase Bar Zvicha, which is not in the Tosefta or elsewhere as far as we know, and we don't yet know what a Bar Zvicha means because we don't yet have a coherent theory that will account for all the details. But they assume that an Akum is excluded for that reason. And the Rambam, a very fascinating Rambam, had a whole different approach. The Rambam does not talk about a concept of Bar Zvicha in those words or in any other words, but it sounds like that the Shechita could have been good, except that there is an Isser which negates its status. And that because the Torah in Kisisa talks about this concern of Akar Lecha V'Achalta Mizivcho, that sounds like it's Usser to eat from his Zevach, so it must be because of his idolatrous inclinations and the effect that that will have on you, and therefore that negates the Shechita, so it's back to default, it's back to Nevela status with all of its implications. And then it's particularly interesting the next halacha where he says Gedra Godru, God, they made a big Gedra, sounds like that might be a Dinder Abanan, that even though this stems from his idolatrous inclinations, but it includes even somebody who we know does not engage in Avodah Zarah, and even a child who wouldn't be assumed to have the Das to be able to do that. So for the Rambam, we don't necessarily have the same questions, and it might be relevant to consider why we don't have the same questions for the Rambam, but because according to his premise, it's not a contradiction, anything we have here, but according to the assumption that we need a Bar Zvicha, so then we have to explain why is it that a katan under the right circumstances could be acceptable, and we'll mention that there's a parallel concept seems to be applied differently, because when it comes to tefillin, we don't let a katan write tefillin, because he's not a bar kshira. I remember my son was bar mitzvah last year, so I took him to the sofer right before his bar mitzvah to watch the end of the process of having his tefillin be made, and the sofer let us be involved in some of the parts, but for some of it he only let me be involved and not him, because he was before bar mitzvah, so it was not the bar kshira, so that would have been a problem. So there we say a katan is not a bar kshira. So these are basically two poles to try to understand, two steers to try to figure out. Why is it that a katan is not a bar kshira, but apparently is a bar zvicha? And why is he the Bar Zvicha and Anakum not a Bar Zvicha? So we'll try to get a little more clarity on that tomorrow, and hopefully it will help us more fully understand this concept. All right, so again, close your tomorrow, be as close as possible to 9 a.m. Updates will be transmitted, and I look forward to seeing you then. And I wish everyone a wonderful day. All right, Yashikach.